for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
So that came out of you. Yeah. That is great. From him, out of you. That is awesome. That is so awesome. It's good to be here today. How about you? Tell somebody near you, it is so good to see you. Now, if somebody tells you it wasn't too good to see you, then we need to come to the altar. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things. I have to finish the message that God's been giving me over the last few weeks, and I want to finish that. But there's something else pressing right now that I need to speak concerning. It's not the message, but I do need to speak concerning it. And that is about what's going on in the world today. And I know there's a lot of questions, and there's a lot of people saying this, saying that, Third World War, 50-year war, just over and over and over, and political views. Political views are okay, but that's not what we stand on. We should be standing on the biblical view. Amen? And sometimes that's a little bit more difficult to do, but because we have so many influences that want to influence us in a different direction. Well, I want to remind you today that if you hear all the talking heads about what this is and what that is, all they're doing is sort of describing. But it is not the instructions on what you need to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? That came from Jesus. Jesus gave us not just instructions, but he gave us principles to live by when it's good and when it don't look so good. So over in Luke, I want to share this with you just a little bit. But before I do, that one song that was talking about, I have a new thing coming. That's from Jesus. Jesus says, behold, I do a new thing. The new thing comes from him. There may be different things here, different things there, but the new thing comes from him. He said, behold, take notice, I do a new thing. And so he's doing these things. So what am I supposed to think about all this, Pastor? I said, well, I think what we need to think about is what Jesus thinks about it. Is there any complaints about that? What we need to be saying is what he's saying. And not what the news is saying, but what he's saying. How you know that's a big difference? It's a big difference. Over in Luke chapter 21, you don't have to go there. I'm going to breeze through these just a little bit. Jesus is talking about the end times, and they said, when will this be? That's the disciples. When will these things happen? One of the first things he says in Luke 21:8, he says, take heed that you are not deceived. So take heed that you're not deceived. So you need to understand that he says, first thing you need to do is take be aware that deception is out there. Be aware that deception is real and deception is out there. And he said, but I want you to take heed that you don't be deceived, because there'll be people coming in my name. And he says, I am he. And then they say this. Listen, then they say, the time has drawn near. Did you get that? I'm following. The time has drawn near. There's a lot of people saying, it is the end of time. Listen, it ain't the end till Father says it's over. You hear what I'm saying? We can have podcasts, newscasts. We can have all these things. That don't make it real. You hear me? And he says, therefore, do not go after them. Don't follow them. He said, don't follow them. What is he saying? Follow me. Follow me. What does he have to say about it? He said, because there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Do not be terrified. Wars, rumors of war. So someone said, World War III. I don't know if it's World War III. That doesn't matter to me. What you call it doesn't matter to me. Do you hear what I'm saying? What Jesus said about it matters to me. What did he say? wars and rumors of war. Do not be terrified. Don't be terrified of these things, because they're going to come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. So you see this happening. He said, yeah, you see that, but the end's not happening right now. It's on its way, sure. But it's not going to happen until the Father says it's ready. Jesus is not coming back until the Father says it's time for you to go. Time for you to go get them. Then it says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, various places, famines, and pestilence. And it goes on, he said, before all these things, they will lay hands on you. And if I stopped right there, I said, good, they're laying hands on us. No, they're laying hands on us to persecute us. They're grabbing hold of us to persecute us. Why are they persecuting us? We're Christ followers. If you're not following Christ, you don't have to worry about persecution that much. Do you hear what I'm saying? But if you're a Christ follower, if you're going to do what he wants you to do, they're going to lay hands on you and they're going to persecute you. And they're going to deliver you to the prisons and synagogues and all that. He said they're going to bring you to a lot of rulers, and they're going to do it in my name's sake, for my name's sake. The Lord really wants us to do that. There's a lot of people saying, this is what Jesus would do. I tell you what Jesus did. You hear what I'm saying? What did Jesus do? Anyway, I hope you get that. But he says, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for your testimony. What's he saying? He said, you're a Christ follower, and they're going to lay hands on you, and they're going to persecute you. He said, that is an opportunity for you to give your testimony about Jesus Christ. That's what he says. I think we need to go by what he says. Not what the news is telling me, but go by what he says. Not what somebody else thinks, but what does he say? What does he say? He said, there are going to be signs in the sun and the moon and stars, and earth will have distress in the nations with perplexity. He said, men's hearts going to fail them with the expectation of these things coming on earth. So people are going to have heart attacks because they can't hardly stand what's about to happen, what they think's about to happen. What are they focused on? Things that are about to happen. They're not focused on who he is, who they are in Christ. Do you see the difference? Jesus is realigning everything for us. Yeah, these things is going to happen. He said, but I've got news for you. Here's what you're supposed to do. Give your testimony when things get a little hard for you. Remember the goodness of God. And then he says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Amen. He's coming. Amen? He's coming. The question is he coming for you? I can say he's coming for me. I'm one of his. He belongs to me, and I belong to him. So he's coming. He's going to come back for me. He said, now when these things begin to happen, are they beginning to happen? Yeah, a lot of them are. All of them not yet, but a lot of them are. Okay, these things are about to happen. What does Jesus say? Look up, lift your heads, because your redemption draws near. That's the words of Jesus. When I see bombs falling, I see this, and I hear about this, and hear about that. What is he telling us to do? Look up, get to looking. He's coming. So I'm going to tell your neighbor, he's coming. He's coming. Now, what are we to do? Look for him. Look up for him. Don't be looking out. Look up. Don't be looking terrified. Look up. Why? Because your redemption is getting closer and closer. So it's just a sign of our redemption, of him coming back, is getting closer and closer. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, what else did he say? He said, take heed to yourself that your hearts be not weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the worries of life. Wow. He said, take heed. You need to take heed. In other words, pay attention. Do not let your hearts be weighed down with average living, with bad living, with living without him. Don't let your hearts be connected to the old life. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the words of Jesus. So, what about this? I don't know about that, but I know about what he says. He's given me the biblical instruction. Last night we went to bed. I had my phone on and had the Bible, speaking Bible on, and we just listened to this whole chapter. And just went off to sleep. Why? Because the words of Jesus is speaking. And he's telling his people, don't be doing this. Don't be trying to figure all this out. You can't figure it out. Can you? Anybody got it figured out? I mean, I'd like to hear it. Don't mean I'm going to believe it. Yeah, but you got a lot of these podcasts, a lot of these things, and all these big people saying this. And they may have some truth in it, but I want the truth. Of when these things happen, what did Jesus say? We as Christians need to be doing. Well, that's what he says we need to be doing. Don't be worried and don't be weighed down with the worries of life. What's going to happen? I know what's going to happen. He's coming. And until he comes, I need to do this. I don't need to be deceived. I don't need to be terrified. I need to make sure that I give my testimony. If somebody starts talking about that, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about what he's done for you. Do you hear what I'm saying? These are the words of Jesus. So it sort of pushes aside everything else that everybody else is beating the drum to. And all of a sudden we have anxiety going on. I said, I don't want you to have anxiety. Be anxious for what? Say it out loud. Including bombs. Don't be anxious. Do you hear what I'm saying? Be anxious for nothing. So don't have the anxiety that goes on. He said, so you need to make sure that you don't get weighed down with old living. Is your old life weighing you down? All of a sudden you want to revert back because of all the uncertainty that's going on. Pastor, can you tell me what's going on? I can't tell you. I can tell you what they report. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I can also tell you what Jesus reported, what Jesus said. As a Christian, this is what you need to be going by. Amen. Then he goes on and he says this. He said, watch therefore. Watch, stay alert, watch, pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. What did he say about these things? They're going to come to pass. He didn't lie when he told them these things is going to happen. He said, they're going to come to pass. He said, but you need to be watchful, you need to be alert, and you need to pray. And when did he say pray? Say it out loud.
Always.
Say it out loud.
Always.
Does that include now?
Yes.
Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray just a minute. But he said, pray that you be counted worthy to escape these things when they come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. To stand before. See, a lot of people, well, I don't want to get into chasing a rabbit. Bob Jones told me one time, he said, I was a pastor, and he said, the Lord wants to tell you that you're fired. And I'm like, what am I going to do? What do you mean? What am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? If the Lord's fired me from preaching, so he didn't tell me I was fired from preaching. He said, Lord, tell me you're fired. And then it hit me. Well, what did he say I was fired from? He said, I'm glad you asked. He said, the Lord told me to tell you that you're fired from working for him and hired to work with him. Oh, I don't have to work for him. I work with him. This is how I work with him. I cooperate with what he says Christians all need to be doing. Amen? Amen. All right. We're going to take just a few minutes to pray. I want you to stand up real quick. I know it's taking some time, but I'm fine with that. Get in groups of four, three, four, whatever, and introduce yourself. Get to know each other. Amen. All right, now you know their name. Now it's time to pray. I need somebody in the group. All of you can pray, but I need somebody in the group to lead that prayer. Praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for protection. Pray for the escalation of this to go down. Pray for the protection of a president, of our soldiers. Watch over them. Provide for them. Pray that our leaders will begin to hear the word of God. Pray for Iran. Pray for the people of Iran that they will hear Jesus speak to them. Pray that their leaders will come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And they will accept the true Messiah. Don't be deceived. Don't be terrified. So if you're deceived or terrified, begin to ask God to cleanse you right now from that. Let the water of the word wash you for that, from that. Give your testimony of how Christ changed your life and that he can change other people's life. Testify to other people that he can change your life too. Look up. Lift your heads. Look up. Because redemption is on its way. The second coming of Christ is on its way. And take heed that your heart is not weighed down with old living. What's he saying? Continue your walk as being discipled by him. Continue the discipleship that he wants you to continue. And that's what we're going to be talking about after this prayer. Watch, therefore, and pray. Amen. 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 In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Continue to pray. You can be seated, but continue in your prayers. Why did you say continue in your prayers when we're not in a circle? He said pray always, whether you're in a circle or not. Pray all the time. Well, most of the night last night, I did not sleep soundly. I didn't just sleep and wake several hours. I was waking up just every 30 minutes, every hour, praying. Not out of fear. Amen. 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 I want to talk to you about continuing on the new way, the new thing, the new life. You know, we talked about freedom, being set free out of prison. He got you out of the darkness and brought you into the marvelous light. Why did he bring me into the marvelous light? So I could live out freedom, the freedom of being holy. Why? Holy. What do you mean holy? He gave us his holiness. He gave us his righteousness. He took what was bad and filthy in my life, and he gave me in exchange everything he had. Oh, that is good news. That is good news. You know, we talked a little bit about the sanctification. That you're saved and now you're in the process of being sanctified. You're in the process. You know, it's not just, okay, I'm set apart and that's it. No, you're set apart to be able to walk out holiness. That's a process, and I'm going to show you that in just a minute. But he said that about the church. He said, I'm going to sanctify her with the washing of the water of the word. And that's what we just got through. There was a washing of the word over you concerning the things that are happening. Now, you can either kick it off, get out from under it. I don't believe that. I'm not going that. I'm going to go the way I want to. Well, you can go the way you want to. You know what he didn't give? You know what he did not take from you? Your free will. You've still got a free will to choose. You can either choose him, you can either choose not and don't choose him, or you don't have to choose to do what he says. That's your free will. But he said, if I'm your Lord and you call me Lord, do what I tell you to do. Amen. And that's what he told us to do. So he goes on and he says, so I can present to myself the church in all her glory. Do you understand what he's saying? He said, I'm preparing you and me. He is preparing you and me to be presented to him in all the glory. Not just a little bit of glory. Not just a little bit of shine. No, in all the glory. That's what sanctification does. That's what, when we begin to say, yes, Lord, I don't need to do that. Yes, I do need to do this. Yes, and I'll follow you. That is your sanctifying process of being obedient to him. And it's causing us to become a glorious church. So we can be a glorious church, present to him in all of his glory, that we should be holy. He made us holy. And then he said blameless. And that word blameless, I like that word, blameless. He said, my church is going to be holy. God made them holy. And they're going to be blameless. What does that mean? That means footsteps without fault. Do you hear that? It is a walk without sin. Do you hear what I'm talking about? It is a walk without offense. I'm not talking about the truth not offending people. Sanctification is your walk being without fault. In other words, I'm walking where he wants me to walk. I'm walking out what he tells me to do. Y'all hearing me? And Jesus got through saying, here's just what I want you to do. Concerning Luke 21, concerning the end of, this is what I want you to do. Don't get bogged down with all this other stuff. Yeah, it's there. Yeah, talking heads are going to say. But there's one person that's a talking head, not really a talking head, but he's my Savior. And he's my Lord. And he is not just knows the truth. He is the truth. The truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life that we live is his life. That's what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ, but what? Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ living through me. That's the confession of Paul. That needs to be our confession. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. Anyway, I don't know what we're going to get to. but then he goes on and says, oh, then we say, okay, I see the sanctification, but how does that stuff start? It starts with John 8. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That word know means to become one with, to consummate, to become one with. How do I know that? How do I know that? Somebody asked me that question. How do you know that? I looked it up in the Greek. And not only that, I found it again in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 1, it says Joseph, Mary is pregnant. She's pregnant with Jesus. Angel has to come and talk to Joseph because Joseph's about to end it all. He's about to put her away. No. And he says, no. He take her as your wife, because that's from the Holy Spirit. And he said over in Matthew chapter 1, he said, and he knew her not. That word knew her not is the same word as you shall know the truth. So what did he say? He knew her not. He did not consummate the wedding with a union, sexual union. See, our consummation of knowing the truth is us becoming one. Nothing sexual about it on our part. But what it is, he said, what it is, you are becoming one with. In other words, when you become one with them, you're one. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the reason we need to understand soul ties a little deeper than what we know about them. Because outside of marriage, when you start having sex with somebody that's outside of marriage and it's wrong, it's adultery or fornication, there is a soul tie. There is a becoming one. Listen to me. There's a becoming one because of the sexual union, and your soul is tied to that person. In other words, what you're doing, you're giving part of your soul away to that person, and they're doing the same thing. Do you hear it? That's the reason soul ties need to be what? Broken and renounced. I didn't mean to get an off on that, but you needed to hear it. You needed to hear it. You need to hear it. So it goes on. Now I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3. How long does this process take? Well, let's find out in the Bible. Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 7. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss. This is Paul. Counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, we just got through said I counted them, the things that were seemed to be gained to me. What things were gained to him? He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was of the nation of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. And of the law, I was a Pharisee. To zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is of the law, I was found blameless. All this, he's given you the credentials that he had achieved. All the credentials that he had achieved. And what does it say about them? I count them as loss. Mean nothing to me. I mean, it means nothing to me. I get around pastor. I was around pastor sometime, and he gave me his card, business card, preacher business card, and it said apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He'd gained all of that. I mean, all that was on the card. Wow. You know. What's he pushing? He's pushing what? Credentials. Let's go on. He goes on and he says, he said, more than that, I count them, I judge them, I deem them all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's where knowing means being saved. That's a different knowing. He said, I'm counting every bit of this. I'm counting everything that I've attained as loss for the surpassing value of coming to know him. What was he saying? He said, that was standing in my way to be able to know who he really is. What's standing in your way? What's standing in our way? But Paul acknowledged that. Then he goes on. He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. In other words, he suffered the loss. He lost it all. We talked the other week about losing friends. He wasn't your friend to begin with. Do you hear what I'm saying? God's just pruning a little bit. Getting influences away from us that we don't need to be around. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about influences. So he goes on and he says, not only that, but I count them but rubbish. That word rubbish means dung. Anybody need an explanation of that word? Quit that, Terry Wilson. Terry Wilson's over there. Yeah, would you please explain that? Yeah, that is waste from human. That's a waste out of our humanness. Human waste. He said, I count it as dung going to the bathroom. He said, nothing but dung. All this achievement, he said, it's dung. Think about that. I need to go. I need to get away from that because I got some. I don't think that's God. I'm moving on. So what? How do you know that we can enter into flesh about any time we want to? He said, in order that I may gain Christ. I count that as dung, in order that I may gain. No, he's not talking about salvation. He said, that I may gain Christ. Become larger in him. Become larger in him. And then it says that I may be found in him. Let me ask you this. Are you concerned about being found in him? Paul says, I may be found in him. Well, how does he want to be found? He goes on, he says this, not having righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. What is he saying? He said, I don't want to be found in him as somebody that does a lot of works, but doesn't have a lot of things that's showing who Christ really is. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm an achiever. Do we have anybody that has been in your life a workaholic? I'll raise my hand in that. I work hard. Thank you. And so there's about three or four of us anyway. Rest of you need to repent for lying. But I take it back. I repent. Because it might not be. He goes on. And he says this, that I may know him, that I may become one with him. Well, no, he's already in Christ. No, he said, not. I ain't talking about being saved. I'm talking about growing up and becoming like him. Amen. Becoming one to consummate what he's put inside me, to live out what he's already given me. That I may know him. That I may know the power of his resurrection. Now, do you want to know the resurrection? The resurrection power abides inside you. Amen. Abides inside me. The resurrection power, the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus up from the dead. Jesus didn't raise himself. The Holy Spirit raised him up. The Spirit of holiness raised Jesus up. Same power that raised Jesus, that same power is inside us. To look at dead things and make them live. And the fellowship of his sufferings and conformed to his death. Now, we've heard that. We've read that. We've heard messages on it. We've probably taught on it and all this kind of stuff. But what we miss is the reality of what is Paul doing. Why is Paul saying that to the Philippians? He's writing a letter. The Philippians, he's writing a letter inspired by the Holy Spirit and writes the letter to the Philippian church and says, Philippi church, and he says this. Then he says this, that I may know him, that I may become one with everything about him. And the power of his resurrection. See, on the road to Damascus, you heard from Eric the other week. Great message, Eric, by the way, and talked about Saul is on the road to Damascus. I heard one man, a clever man, saying, I think it was Francis Frangipane, used it. He said, "On the road to Damascus." Never mind. It probably didn't do for you as it did for me. On the road to Damascus, he Damascus. He took the mask off. Why are you doing this to me? But you heard that. You know that. See, this is 4 to 7 years past Jesus being crucified. 7 years ago, on the road to Damascus. Why was he going to Damascus? Anybody know? To persecute the church. To persecute the church. To beat them. Kill them. Are you hearing me? Yeah. 7 years after he was crucified, Paul is now born again. 7 years later, is now born again. How old was he? About 30. Anywhere from 27 to 30. About 30 years old, he gets demasked. The reality of who he is and the reality of who Jesus is became real. He was about age 30. Over the next years, over the 35 next years, he spends five of those years in and out of prison. In prison for a while, out of prison, in prison for a while, out of prison. Spent 5 years in prison. This is from the person that just got through saying that I may know him. So in the process of looking at this, he's imprisoned in Rome writing this letter. Now, that's not his last imprisonment. He gets out of that one. A few years later, he gets imprisoned again, and that's when they behead him. He's about 65, 66, something like that. Well, why do I tell you that? Well, here's why I tell you that. Because he wrote this letter when he was about 60. Born again, about 30, wrote this letter when he was about 60. 30 years of his Christian life has already been spent. 30 years. And this is what he has to say. That I may know him. So how long does this take? Here's 30 years and Paul is still saying that I may know him, that I may become one with everything about him. It's not, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to sit down, got my ticket, go to heaven, I'll sit down and wait for the bus to come. Or I'll sit in a pew and I'll just be a do-nothing, listen to it, I'll just be a do-nothing Christian. You're probably just going to be a do-nothing person. Do you hear what I'm talking about? So he says 30 years here. And Paul goes on in Ephesians, he says, we are to grow up in all aspects of Jesus. All aspects of him, to be a mature man to the full measure of his stature and to become the fullness of Christ. What's he saying? He said, here's the process. Are you fully and everything about you is walking out fully with Christ? No. Then we've still got work to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not an indictment. It is an invitation. Come on. Go a little deeper in your walk. You got everything that I've got. You've got everything that I've ever had. I've given it all to you. All my glory I've given to you. Everything, I've given it to you. And he said, come on. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Come on. He's worth it. Paul is in prison, been in prison on and off 5 years, and he's still saying that I may know him. I'm coming. I'm going to grow to be more like him. I'm going to grow to be what? More like him. I already have him, but am I looking like him? Am I acting like him? Is my countenance showing? You know, somebody said one time, you know, matter of fact, I'm gonna tell on somebody in this church. Mike Duncan. It's been a couple of months ago. It's been about 3 months ago, I guess. He comes walking over, I'm sitting down, and he walks up to me and he walks up to me, how you doing, brother? I said, I'm doing good. He said, are you happy? And I said, yeah. He said, you need to tell your face. That's the truth. My flesh wanted to say, you don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say that. I accepted it. You don't know what I've been through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. See, it was just a gentle reminder. He didn't rebuke me. He just reminded me that my face was not showing Christ. I don't know what my face was showing that day. But it was a reminder to me, don't worry. Be happy. Now, that's what I thought about. Don't worry, be happy. Song was free, by the way, so you don't have to pay for that. Oh. Mature man, have you leveled off? Have you got to a certain place in your life and leveled off? And done this about your Christian walk? I have arrived. Do you hear what I'm saying? Have you leveled off? See, there is a burning desire in Paul, in prison, writing a letter, and his heart's desire, the pressing that he has. He said, I press forward. What's he talking about? I press forward to the goal. What is the goal? Becoming like Christ. Have you stopped pressing that? See, the Lord a lot of times will begin to show you things like you know, your face is not happy. A gentle reminder saying, look at what he's done for you. Not where you've been. Not where you are. Not what you've gone through. Not what you're about to go through. But what he's done for you already. He's already done enough for me that we should always be a people that smile. It's like that. I heard one man say, you know, said, I would not want to be a Christian with a lot of Christians that I've been around. And I said, why is that? And he said, they're all sour. They're all burdened down. They're all, you know, this, you know, I got to go to church. Well, that's the problem. If you got to go, that's a problem. No. You don't come out of duty. You come out of desire. I get to go. I get to be with God's people. I get to be with you today. There are about three more pages left, but I won't get to it. How long will it take me, Pastor? All the rest of your life. Yeah, there'll be markers of maturity that goes on that okay, this don't bother you anymore, this don't bother you anymore. Satan, you know, you know, a lot of times when Satan begins to tempt you with something, it's usually something that you still struggle with instead of overcoming. Usually when he sees you overcome, he don't bother you with that. He bothers you with these things that you have, still have lying around. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you're not mature. You know, we can't be Christian that's been saved for 20 years and walking around with a baby bottle spiritually. Now, are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, how would it be that I look out there and about half of y'all's got bottles out there going, what are you doing? I'm having lunch. I'm eating early. You'd say, I cannot believe that. We would say, they have not, you know, something's wrong here. We'll get the same thing spiritually. If you're still on a bottle, if you're still on milk, and you've been a Christian for 20 years, there's something wrong. Jesus is saying what? Come on, come on. Put that down and come to me. That's repentance. Put that away and come to me. Come on. Come on. Come on. A There's a movie. I don't know which one. It's a Jesus movie. I don't know which one it is, but he's walking out on the shore like that, and he turns around looking, and the camera's looking at him, and he's doing this. He does that about three times. I love that scene. What's he saying? He's looking at the disciples. He's saying, come on. He's not judging you. He already knows. He said, come on. Come on. Let's stand to our feet. Jesus is saying, come on. Don't settle at salvation. Don't just settle for salvation. Come on and enter this journey with me. I'll walk with you every step of the way. I'll tell you everything. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. Say, that's me. I'm coming. I'm coming. If that's you, you lift your hand. I'm coming. Say, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm laying aside everything that doesn't look like him. I'm laying aside everything that doesn't reflect him. I'm putting it aside, and he's going to remind me what is it, and I don't need to be doing that. You let your hands down. Now, is there anybody here that does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Anybody? Okay, we're all home folk. Everybody praise Jesus. And be seated. Yeah, lights. I forgot something. I'll put this at the end. But lights will be put in. We don't have all the money yet, but we're getting there. We have about 7,000. We need about 20. But in 2 weeks, July the 7th, this is going to start renovation. So probably this July the 13th, we'll probably be down at the Family Life Center having worship. But we'll tell you a little bit more about that. But what I'm saying is, if you haven't given and you'd like to give toward the lights to be able to help us convert all this lighting, then give. Go ahead and give. We just mentioned it one time. I'm not going to beat you to death about money. I'll just say what it is. You understand what I'm saying? Say, yes, Pastor. Yes. Okay, come on up. God bless you.
So just a couple quick announcements real quick. Youth is going to the Ford Conference this week, so be in prayer for our youth and youth leaders and parents and chaperones and all of that this will be a life-changing event for our youth. We're expecting God to show up and show out as we yield to him. As a result of that going this Thursday through Sunday, next Sunday is the fifth Sunday, so we won't have our traditional fifth Sunday meal next Sunday because a lot of people will be out for that, so just be aware of that. Also, all veterans in here that served in the military, want to bring your attention to Monday, June 30th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Farmers Market in Forest City, North Carolina. That's 172 Depot Street. There's going to be a time of celebration of our country and of our veterans and all kinds of events going on, too many to name here. So we got some things going on that's probably up here. And there is a lot of stuff going in the house of God here at Father's Vineyard. There just really are too many to we'd be here past lunch, and we're trying to get you out so you can beat the Baptist to the buffet. So that's what we're trying to do. So work with us. There's so many things going on. Go to the website, fathersvineyard.org. Go on to events. There's a ton of things. We've got new Sunday school classes coming. We got events coming up in July, so we just want you to be a part. Amen. Hammy was challenged this morning by the Word of God. He's challenged us to grow up so he can grow out. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing in our church. We thank you for what you're doing in our country. We thank you for what you're doing in us personally. And Lord, we say, here am I. Do with me as you want. Send me, God. Show me, God. Use me, God. In your name we pray as we go out through the week and declare your goodness. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.